Light travels over the curved, silhouetted lines of a stylized apple and leaf. Words appear. Apple Original Films. Jumbled white letters expand and compress on a black background. The majority disappear, leaving two words in the center, Sandbox Films. Apple Original Films presents a Sandbox Films production in association with Impact Partners. A Walking Upstream Pictures Back Alley Entertainment Hidden Candy production. Words appear. We must keep the beasts at bay and in their place. So we seldom ask them questions, lest they answer and terrify us by smashing our beliefs. Charles Bowden. Beneath thick mist, a small speedboat cruises on an endless expanse of gray ocean. The speedboat races over the calm water. Round yellow buoys sit in a mess of equipment on the boat's floor. A pair of hands lowers an electronic device over the boat's side. With closed eyes, a woman rests her back against the boat's side. Her eyes open. She presses a switch on an electronic device embedded in a suitcase and puts a crumpled plastic bag on it. She watches a whale surface and disappear. A title appears, Fathom. At dawn, a mountainous coastline stretches along a dull body of water. A lighthouse stands on the opposite shore. Words appear. Frederick Sound, Alaska. Inside, the woman wears headphones at a laptop. She studies audio waveforms in a computer program. Dr. Michelle Fournet. She sits back, adjusts her headphones, and leans toward the screen. She raises and lowers her fingers in rhythm with the sounds. A smile crosses her lips as she stares at the audio. Her eyes close softly.
I'm trying to start a conversation, is the most basic way you can say it. I'm going to put a speaker in the ocean and talk to a whale and hope it talks back.
Ripples undulate on the water's surface. The setting sun lights up a distant horizon.
If this work is successful, it will be the first experiment where we have actively engaged in a dialogue with a humpback whale.
As she stares at the screen, a smile twitches across her lips. Words appear. As Michelle seeks to make contact with humpback whales, another scientist is deciphering how far their connections stretch across space and time. Beyond a dark beach, the sun crests a hill. University of St. Andrews, Scotland. A building sits on the beach. Inside, a young woman with short hair observes waveforms in a computer program. She smiles. Dr. Ellen Garland.
People have been studying humpback song for 40, 50 years. And still, no one really knows why they sing.
Sunlight glitters on rolling ocean waves.
Birds have song. And other whales have song. But humpback song is even more elaborate.
Ellen wears headphones on a boat.
They have rhythm, timed breathing.
A chord extends into the water from the boat.
Rhyming and repetition.
Waveforms display repetitive peaks and valleys.
Hours of patterns within patterns. With no clear beginning or end.
A waveform audio track forms a circle.
I think humpback song is complex communication. On a scale that has no analog that we know of,
Ellen analyzes sound data at her computer.
Except us.
The surf drifts onto the beach. A blurry cluster of trees rises above a snowy forest floor. In an office, Michelle studies waveforms. She wears headphones and observes sound data on two monitors.
My stepfather was a classical pianist.
Cornell University, Ithaca, New York.
When he sat down to teach me the piano, he told me to play one note and to close my eyes and listen until the sound disappeared.
Water ripples in slow motion.
He wanted me to understand the sound by experiencing it.
A spout rises from the surface. Michelle listens with closed eyes. Cornell Bioacoustics Engineering and Fabrication Shop.
This is a lot easier than you're thinking.
So when you go to set the timer.
So this system communicates with this box.
Mm-hmm.
Took 10 years to lay the groundwork before we could even begin to build the playback files to play to the whales.
They assemble a submarine apparatus.
Oh, good. It's live.
Nice.
They attach cords. She listens on headphones and taps a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
It's working?
Oh, yeah, very
great.
Well.
Great. Good.
Okay.
Power on?
Power's on.
Okay.
Yes.
He operates a laptop. She smiles and points at a circular speaker. He stands it on its side.
Yeah, that's the one that's it. This is that's the playback call. That was the actual call that we will be playing. Or one of the calls. Yeah, we'll need to adjust it a little bit.
We could reduce the volume. Maybe so if it's clipping, you may need to adjust.
Well, it's clipping from your point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the clippings from the recording. So these recordings haven't been filtered, they haven't been adjusted at all.
Waveforms flow in a computer program. He increases the volume.
That's good.
Something's not right.
Yeah. I am trying to fool the whale. I should be transparent about that.
She attaches a cylindrical device.
I'm trying to convince the humpback that there is another whale in the water that is vocalizing.
Cornell Bioacoustics Lab.
So playback experiments in the past made a lot of terrible sounds by accident.
So this is how it works. So for half of the verse, it's the real song.
Mm-hmm. The last time they did playbacks, so they ended up sounding like a humpback whale on helium.
And this is the reconstructed one.
And then they wonder why no one responded.
So you actually clear out.
Yeah, you lose everything. All the noise.
And here you have the waveform, like blue is the input and red is what we're listening to.
And red is what we're hearing now.
Yeah.
And you basically are just working with signal.
So you don't have any issues with the spectrogram.
All the type of sounds are breaking.
All the clicks and everything, would be thrown away.
This is a great idea. The only issue I see is that most humpback calls aren't tonal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're amplitude modulated calls. They're short. So a lot of them are these sort of calls that aren't harmonic.
That's amazing.
Okay,
you're doing really well.
Then it's just, again, I think, going to be about clarity.
Mm.
I think we should try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michelle dons headphones and observes waveforms on a computer.
If you were to listen to all of the whales around the world at the same time, most of those sounds would be calls. Sometimes they occur in series that change order. Sometimes they occur one by one.
Solitary waveforms are labeled droplet call and swap call.
But they're short, and we understand very little about them.
Growl call, teepee call.
But of all of the humpback calls, I think one is the most important.
Horizontal curved line stack. Whoop call.
The whoop. This call is produced, we think, by everyone. This is an animal that has the potential to produce infinite numbers of calls.
She configures underwater mics.
Why is this call unique? Why is this call special? And the best way to start finding that out is by playing it to a whale and seeing how the whale responds.
She puts a walkie-talkie in a case. A photo of a brown dog adorns the wall. In a house, the dog watches her from the couch. In the kitchen, she takes cooking oil from the cabinet. Pans sizzle on the stovetop.
This is the question I've been preparing for.
She dumps a plate of vegetables into a pan.
This is the one that I fought for when I was 25 and I started this.
She eats outside and pets her dog.
And this was the one that I rallied for when I started my PhD.
She lugs a black case into the yard.
And I have to make sure the science is impeccable.
The case unfolds into solar panels. She faces them toward the sun, plugs a cord into a portable power station, and sits holding her laptop and smiling.
This is the very beginning of how we understand how humpback whales perceive the world and how humpback whales perceive each other through sound.
In a lush forest, light shines on vibrant green leaves. Words appear. Michelle will travel to Alaska to test whether humpbacks use the whoop call to make contact with each other. Gray water stretches to distant shores. Ellen surfaces. She floats on her back.
My mom loved the ocean. She always wanted to be an oceanographer, but women weren't allowed out on boats. So she became a geographer instead.
The deep blue ocean stretches out to the horizon. Birds fly overhead.
She never lost her love of the ocean, and she definitely transmitted that on to me.
Words appear. Sea Mammal Research Unit. Inside, she and two other women observe waveforms.
Exactly. That's an important thing. Noting the weird, noting the different, is the best thing you can do, because that will jump out at you. If we notice these individual level differences, make a note.
Scientists had always thought that songs were only used for mating.
We've got a nice pattern.
Mm.
So a violin, a bark, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be a whoop. So these are like three perfect examples.
But as I listened to a decade of recordings from the South Pacific, I saw the same songs turning up in populations separated by hundreds of miles.
But it's important that we're seeing the structure, right? So we've got
yes.
a big squeak and then a lower frequency unit, then the big squeak and some lower frequency.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it as a structural thing.
I realized song had to be much more than just mating.
She draws waves beside handwritten notes.
Small changes are introduced to the song. And then all of the singers learn those changes, and the song evolves. It steps forward. Songs are then passed across distant populations. And as this repeats, they become the shape of what thousands of whales sound like, collectively.
Repeating waveforms on an audio track form a circle.
All of this is a cultural phenomenon. So from Australia, it first spreads to New Caledonia, 800 miles away. They all learn the song within a couple of months, which is ridiculous that animals can learn this very long, complex display so rapidly. The songs go from west to east every time, connecting an ocean of whales with culture.
She draws on a map.
I'm trying to complete a map of where song sharing is found in the South Pacific.
She circles the South Pacific.
To find its edges. To find out where this humpback culture ends.
Rain falls outside a window. Words appear. Ellen prepares to travel to French Polynesia to see whether the whales there also sing the song she's been tracking. In a modest two-story home, Ellen stares out glass doors at a man sawing a plank of wood on the patio. She taps the glass and he gives a thumbs up. Matt Lilly, Ellen's husband. Later, they stuff a pillow on the plank.
Enough?
No, I think that's enough. Stuff it in.
One, two. What's this?
A cat climbs a cat tower.
Up here. Can you hang too?
Oh.
Is he all right?
Framed younger photos of the couple adorn the house.
Field work's always a challenge because you're away from people you care about.
Outside, they work under a car's hood.
On occasion, I've managed to get Matt to come to the field site with me.
Matt carves meat in the kitchen.
We discovered he gets seasick on boats, so that didn't work so well.
I know.
Have you opened it? Yeah.
Step one, Ellen always sets up smoke alarms.
Oh, you all right?
Yep.
Good job.
Thanks, buddy. I don't even know where to start. Okay.
Delegate.
Pardon?
Delegate.
Delegate
things to me.
Okay. Can you get all the stuff off the washing line that's dry?
Yes, I can.
Ellen packs a bag.
You know, we have absolute minimal communication coming up, and that sucks. And it's really hard. And I think it's much harder for you than me because I'm surrounded constantly by people, by the team.
Plus, you've got something to do, right? There's no rest, really, on field work. When you're really interested in something and really passionate about it, it's just the obvious thing you want to do.
I love being in the field. It makes me super happy, and I absolutely love it. And I wouldn't want to stop doing that, but it is really hard to go away.
It's just best to try and not think about it, I guess.
Matt nods. Ellen returns the nod with a tight-lipped smile.
Okay.
She rubs her face and hugs Matt.
There we go.
They hold each other. Dark green leaves dangle from lush branches beside a body of water. Hobart Bay, Alaska. Gray ocean stretches into a shroud of thick fog. A small punctured boat lies overturned on the grass beside the beach. Water squirts from a muddy puddle. Words appear. For the first 2 weeks of fieldwork, Michelle will be assisted by a fellow researcher and a student. Michelle and the student research assistant, Maggie Knight, don overalls. Dr. Leanna Matthews, a marine ecologist, reads from a list.
Four dry bags with collars and GPS units, check. Tracker, check. small black dry bag with boat GPS unit, check iPad, check green towel, it's in the backpack, Goal Zero battery with charging cords and the Goal Zero solar panel are both in the backpack.
Black Pelican,
check.
With camera, I checked it this morning, camera, binos, an extra 9-volt camera battery and AA batteries all in there.
Yep. Awesome. Big yellow dry bag, rain jackets, lunch snacks.
Check, check, check.
Okay, playback speaker.
Check. Mm-hmm.
Four life jackets.
Yep.
Two radios.
Check.
Personal dry bags and water bottles.
Water.
I've got my water bottles full.
Sunscreen.
Oh, sunscreen. Okay, wrote on the list. It's in the bag. We should put it on our faces.
Michelle squeezes sunscreen from a tube and hands it to Maggie.
We'll do our first survey down south, and then we'll work our way north.
Okay.
She smears her face. A small boat floats on a massive body of water.
When you're in a place of such beauty, it's easy to forget. The whales could capsize us, and the water is cold enough that we would die.
Wearing a visor and sunglasses, Michelle sits on the bobbing craft looking out on the water. Distant hills loom in the mist. Her legs hang over the side of the boat, toes dipped in the water. Later, Michelle slumps with her face buried in her hands. Liana sits behind her, looking to the horizon.
There's somebody up there, for sure.
Uh-huh.
They survey the horizon. The boat speeds across the water.
In past seasons, I've gone weeks without seeing any whales. This year, we have only a month to survey at least 30.
Michelle snaps a photo. A humpback's tail emerges ahead of the boat.
Okay, hydrophones, it is 10:28, August 11th. This is Dr. Leanna Matthews here with Dr. Michelle Fournet. I'm going to clap three times.
They submerge mics.
Each playback takes 1 hour.
They put flag buoys and a speaker in the water.
Below, we'll acoustically track one whale with hydrophones while our speaker plays whoops.
They configure audio equipment.
Starting playback.
Michelle readies a notebook.
And above, we'll note everything we see one whale do. This is called a focal follow. By linking behaviors we see at the surface with recordings below the water, I'll have a complete picture of how the whale is responding to our playbacks.
We'll start at first surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michelle stands beside the motor, binoculars at the ready.
She's gonna pop up right next to us.
Yeah.
Liana watches the water with her binoculars. Maggie's head whips up as the fluke emerges in the distance.
Start survey.
First surface. Southwest, 76.2.
Below.
Never mind. Scratch that. Not our whale.
That's not our whale.
No. Below. West. 50.1. Below. Northwest. Dive.
36.3. 150.
It is our whale.
That's our whale.
Okay. A little white on the dorsal.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The fluke just made me feel better because that other whale was also a black fluke whale.
I know. I noticed that and I was like, oh my God.
But no, this is our whale.
And that was the right fluke.
Mm-hmm. That was the right fluke.
Yeah.
Black fluke with kind of speckles, barnacles on the top.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the end of our survey.
They collect the buoys. Words appear. First playback completed.
Contact.
The researchers grip the perimeter rope as the boat speeds over the water. They sit on the static craft watching a fluke surface in the distance.
Does anybody mind if I take the cheddar one?
Go for it.
They eat sandwiches.
Are you guys disappointed that I'm not taking us down there?
No.
Okay. It's intentional. There are too many whales down there.
I don't think we should go down there. They could get really confusing.
Later, Michelle snaps photos of a whale from the boat. Second playback. She and Liana use binoculars.
That's not our whale.
Correct.
That's not our whale. These two are not our whales.
Correct.
Fluke surface on the horizon.
Oh, what about that splashed whale?
Yep.
That's our whale. Surface, first surface, 185.2.
200.
I'm pretty sure it's our whale.
I'm gonna try and get it in binos.
Maggie records observations in the notebook.
Blue, south, 178.5.
400. The closer one, yeah?
Yep. Ugh. That's not our whale.
That's not our whale.
Delete that whole last surfacing.
Michelle sits rigidly beside the motor, touching her chin.
This study has a high probability of failure.
Logistics are really complicated.
She hauls the speaker out of the water by its cord. Later, she steers the boat.
When there are multiple whales, it's really hard to track just one.
She docks the boat by the camp and the researchers unload their equipment. A boat speeds by a coastline topped with majestic green mountains. Mo'orea, French Polynesia. Ellen rides the boat, wearing sunglasses and a cap.
It's the idea that I might be able to contribute to this knowledge, that might be my little piece that I can help with the puzzle.
A man helms the boat.
Even in the hardest field season or the crappiest day, it gets me out of bed every morning. I'm a nerdy scientist. Trying to understand our planet, trying to understand all the animals on our planet before they disappear.
In a room on land, a man watches her unpack fragile equipment. Alex South, PhD student, zoo musicology.
So, you haven't had much instruction with the hydrophone before?
Not much, no.
Okay, cool. So, general idea. This part can't get wet, that part has to go in the water.
Mm-hmm.
A coil.
These take ages to wake up on stamina mode.
Yeah, right.
I can hear that through there.
She taps the coil, listening on a small speaker.
Yeah, that's definitely doing well. So the whole idea is you pop on a piece of tape, and then you want to wind it tight, but not too tight.
Right.
You don't want to strangulate the cord.
Okay. And the idea for this is to reduce the low-frequency rumble? That was what you were saying?
It reduces those low-frequency vibrations.
Yeah.
So yeah, this has been passed down from my supervisor's supervisor to right. him, uh-huh, to myself, uh-huh. And now I'm sort of introducing it to our lab. So it's the Australian technique, shall we say. that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just need the whales.
Richmond Frank, boat captain.
Yeah, very happy to see you too. So glad we can come
long
out
time
with
ago
you.
Now.
I know, it's been ages.
I only have a couple of weeks, and I need to get high quality recordings.
from different whales, so I know what's being sung.
Ellen sits on the port side of the roofed speedboat, looking out at the clear blue bay. Richmond uses a phone.
What do you reckon?
Maybe try.
Yeah, we'll go.
For the song East is better.
Yeah, sounds
and
like
after we can go.
Yeah, that's the best idea.
Ellen, Alex, and Richmond head into the open ocean. Ellen untangles headphones and plugs the jack into the recorder. Alex uncoils the hydrophone.
Happy to go in?
Yep, ready to go in.
He reaches over and lowers it into the water.
Perfect. I'm going to start listening now.
Wearing headphones, Ellen watches the readout on the recorder.
I'm listening at level 95.
Maybe at the very edge of my hearing. Yeah.
It's a game of acoustic hide and seek.
Let's let all of the all the cable out because it's not sitting vertical, and I'd rather get as much depth as we can.
Below the surface, a song can be heard by other whales for dozens of miles, but my hydrophone struggles to recall clearly beyond a mile or two.
Ellen cups her hands over her ears.
I'm going to stop that now. File 001. Feel it from this way.
Yeah.
The boat moves onward.
The whales sing outside the reef, but the deeper waters can get so big that if you're not careful, it could sink the boat. The water is a window, but it's also a wall.
Ellen listens intently on her headphones. Alex takes notes.
We can confirm we do have singing going on, but it is poor to very poor. This is a long way and we can't go into that, unfortunately.
The undulating ocean rocks the boat. Words appear over the body of water beside the Alaskan campsite. 5 of 30 playbacks completed, 24 days remaining. The three researchers ride their boat through the water.
10 years in Alaska and I've never seen so many whales.
I think we're doing a disservice to the playback if we don't do a scan. Like, we're focal following this animal and doing a playback to this animal. But that's not the only animal that hears this playback.
Which means that what the animal does is going to change. Because you and I having a dialogue alone versus you and I having a dialogue with a group of people is going to change how much we contribute and how much we pay attention.
I think we're having trouble letting go.
Sure, we spent weeks. I spent months. I spent years.
A long time.
Designing these focal follows.
But when you get there and you do it,
it changes.
And you're seeing all of these other things.
It doesn't matter how much time I spend designing it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the most elegant way to be certain about something we see in nature? Without exaggerating it, without hoping for it? And I feel like, in terms of that question,
A scan is the simplest way to capture the response of a playback.
It's a strong pivot.
Very strong.
Michelle's eyes fall. She twiddles her fingers and purses her lips.
Hey, Maggie. We're making some changes to the protocol.
It's going to be scans.
Just scans?
Yes.
Scans only.
Scans only. I thought I was only going to have one whale, so it made a lot of sense to look at what one whale did.
Leanna uses binoculars.
Instead, I have lots of whales, which was an unexpected surprise.
Michelle takes notes.
So I need to know whether or not the number of whoops that each whale is producing goes up when I produce a whoop. And the best way to do this is to start doing scans. I mark every whale that I can see all around me.
She drags a canoe.
If, on average, how many whoops each whale is making goes up when I produce a whoop call, that's really strong evidence that they're using whoops to make contact.
Liana and Maggie stand on the shore as Michelle brings the boat around. Maggie boards the vessel. They load a coil of audio cable. The boat heads out to deep water. Words appear. First playback to multiple whales. Michelle submerges a hydrophone. Whales spout beyond the researchers' buoys.
Starting playback.
Michelle whips around. Whales surround the boat. The giant surface. Michelle's eyes dart frantically.
Okay.
We're gonna head that way to give some space. And then we'll cut back. Slow. We're gonna go slow.
Liana readies her camera.
30 seconds out from playback.
She checks her watch. Several whales spout in the distance.
Group size 4131500. Group size 2154 1000. 145, group size 2. Can you slow down just a little? Barely. Range 200. Please repeat that, Asma. 142. Group size 2. Yards. 185. Group size 1. Please repeat that, I'm sorry. 185, group size 1, 250 yards. 200 yards, group size 1, 256. I am at group size 4 at 1,000. What was the asthma? I don't know.
Maggie takes notes on a tablet.
All right, let's stop and start over. Really, really fast, and I haven't...
I know.
...had time to really look at this.
I know, and it's... Let's delete all of those and start again.
Later, Maggie sits with folded arms.
As hard as that was, it was easier.
Been trying to focal follow what animal and all of that?
Yeah. Oh, look at these guys. Look at that.
Maggie covers her head with a tarp.
All right. Start survey.
Right. Group size 3159.
At the campsite, they gather before a computer.
I kind of want to see us.
When do we start playing back? 11:32. That sounds right.
I think that's us. It's quiet.
Mm-hmm. But again, like, it fits right in.
It fits right in. Oh, yeah. It sounds very, very realistic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
not us.
No, it's not.
No, we're over here. This yeah. is us. I think the whoop is a kind of hello to them. Possibly, hello, I am. Which raises the question, if each whale has their own whoop, could they use it to identify each other? This is why I'm playing this sound. Before you can have the conversation, it helps to introduce yourself.
So what else do we find in here?
We wanted to see if they were whooping before we started whooping, right?
That's us.
And that's us. We don't see a lot of whooping before we started whooping.
This is them calling back.
The researchers smile brightly.
Now, it could just be a random chance. Ooh, here they go again.
Michelle swings on a buoy hanging from a branch.
Oh, Leanna,
what's up?
Here, come here.
Oh, okay.
Maggie, we need a push.
Oh God. Oh God.
I think we hit the ground.
It creaks.
I'm not taking part in this. I
will not
be sued if something
goes
wrong.
We hit the ground. I think we hit the ground.
Stand up here.
Are you saying we can't swing?
Well, if we go further that way, there's less ground.
Ready? Oh,
good idea. Oh my God, I'm making my pants.
Oh yeah, oh Maggie.
She brings the buoy to Maggie.
Here, be careful.
Ooh, this seems like a really bad idea.
Can you get your feet up there? I bet if you hold the stick high, yeah. Yeah, you're just gonna have to jump. Jump and straddle, okay.
Maggie swings forward, knocks Michelle over on the backswing, and hops off the buoy. A jellyfish pulsates just beneath the water's surface. Michelle stands at the water's edge.
I take things that I love about being here and set them up in my home.
Like what?
Well, like I don't have the internet.
Yeah. You don't have internet at your house?
Yeah, I don't have internet at my house.
Yeah.
It's really quiet at my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm far away from noise so that when I step outside, it sounds a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when I wake up in the morning, it feels kind of like waking up in a tent.
Yeah.
Transitioning out of being here is exponentially harder. It takes days to recalibrate to reality and the real world, and it's just...
That's the thing, is I don't feel like that is reality. I feel like this is reality. This is the real world.
Yes, but this is not the real world that we live in all the time.
Yes.
So we have to reset to the day-to-day life that we had before this, and it's hard.
Maggie extends a clothesline between trees. Michelle kneels, washing her face. Leanna wrings a wet garment over a bowl. She empties the bowl. Michelle walks by the shore. Michelle combs Maggie's hair.
Some things we do are not innate. They're learned.
She trims the ends with scissors.
They tell us who we're connected to.
They hang clothes.
And where we belong.
They sit and eat in tall grass.
We worked today. We were a good team today.
Yeah.
We took good care of each other.
We laughed a lot.
We laughed a lot today.
You don't need me to cut your hair.
On the shore, Ellen writes hurriedly in a notebook.
We call these things culture.
Five people row in a canoe.
the oldest cultures are not human. They're from the ocean.
A whale's massive vertebrae lies in a warehouse.
For generations, researchers thought they were solitary, and we didn't see them together. But they haven't been alone for eons. 40 million years ago, their brains exploded with complexity.
Whale skulls are displayed.
Before we walked upright, before we sparked fire, consciousness bloomed because they became social.
An X-ray of a brain forms.
Regions related to self and community grew more elaborate than in any other brain, including us.
Synapses spark.
The senses of sight and sound merged, allowing whales to see one another through sound. Whales evolved to build relationships in the dark.
In the daytime, Ellen stands on Richmond's boat, looking out at the water. Whales surface.
You there?
Where? Tail on the left. I've got one there and one there.
Alex wears headphones and bends over equipment as Ellen approaches.
Okay, recording at 1350.
She adjusts an earbud.
Okay, we do have a singer.
The bones are really... You can hear all the detail in them, it's great.
That's exactly what we want. This is it. This is the one. This is the one. We're going to hold the cable for an hour. We're going to... This is our goal. Like, yeah, this is our fine. One for the this season. Is, yeah.
Later, Ellen looks at waveforms on a laptop and listens.
The song we recorded is different from the one I've been tracking.
She draws waves in her notebook.
A new song I've never heard before. In 20 years of song recordings across the South Pacific, this is the first time I've ever seen this happen. But I don't think it's an anomaly. The song has a complex structure and fully formed themes. Maybe French Polynesia isn't the end of the map.
Michelle walks across the dock. Words appear. 13 out of 30 multi-whale playbacks completed. 20 days remaining. She stretches and does a backbend.
In a week, I lose Leanna and Maggie to their day jobs. But I think we're finally starting to get it.
Leanna approaches.
Since we've gone from tracking one whale to dozens, the hardest part is gauging distance by eye.
Maggie paddles the canoe.
So every morning, we practice.
Okay, we got my guess. Okay. Good news first. I would say 125.
I said 150.
I could see 150.
170.
Oof. I thought 150 to 200.
Really?
Was my guess on that.
I was 100 to 150.
All right.
I'm off.
Okay.
150 to 200.
I would say 150 to 200. Can I range my... Oh, God, don't move.
She checks a device.
130.
We're a little under.
Yeah.
We're overestimating the distance. Ready?
Yeah.
They turn toward the canoe.
Ooh, I would say 75. Closer than 100.
70.
Okay. I'm feeling better.
They stand with their backs to the bay.
It's hot today. I'm so uncomfortable.
You also look very, like French girl goes into the field today.
With really?
The low bun and the solid black.
Oh, well, so that's a, you can't see my sweat stains in the black. And I can put my hair in a hat. Functional fashion.
Functional fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't changed shirts in like 6 days.
On the boat, Leanna hands Michelle a water bottle.
There's no spectacular, so many whales. Just there and there.
She points in every direction and puts a hand over her chest. As the boat speeds, Maggie watches a whale surface. The boat stops.
Seriously? Leanna, we've got fuel coming out of the back.
Okay, let's go home.
Michelle turns the tiller. The water surface glistens. They pull toward the dock. By the shore, Michelle inspects the engine.
I don't know exactly where we're leaking from, so I need to figure that out. But I know that when I'm feeding it fuel, that my intake is fine, but something's happening, I think. But I'm working on it.
Okay.
Just know that probably for the next several hours, I will not have any extra bandwidth and I will be in problem solving mode until the problem is solved.
Got it. Okay.
Michelle sits beside the engine. A person crouches on the shore. Leanna sits in the campsite. Words appear. In Leanna and Maggie's remaining days in the field, the team is unable to do playbacks because of the broken engine. Leanna writes in a notebook. The researchers climb over rocks to the waterline. They sit on rocks beside the water, looking out. Week 2. Ellen stands on the boat. She checks her wristwatch. Shore, jagged green mountains meet puffy clouds. Snaps photos of a whale surfacing between the boat and the shore.
Starting listening.
No.
She listens to the recorder. grimacing, she holds the hydrophone cord with one hand, pressing an earbud into her ear with the other.
He's not a singer. He's not a singer. I know. He's like right there. I know. I call it a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, yeah.
They're either going to be there at singing or they're not.
They pull toward the dock. Hands unload a boat. Dr. Michael Poole, a marine ecologist, uses a cell phone.
A killer?
Ellen watches.
16h30 et où? A Bayari? I got a call. Please start, Ellen. So he's saying 4:30 at the marina at Bayari.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay, Ellen, dis oui, c'est bon. Okay.
Alex dries headphones with a towel. Ellen scribbles notes.
I just said that we didn't have any good song, but it was good that we're out, and it's good practice.
She smiles. The sun rises over the water. A rooster struts past Ellen's base of operations.
And this end is the business end.
This is the hydrophone. Yeah. So what we do is when we cable tie it, we put the hydrophone up and it's tail down.
Right. So there's a weight on the ground, a buoy or,
Yep, we're putting it down on the reef there, and so there's a lot of fish around.
Yeah, okay.
Get some really cool croakers.
Right.
Like you're going to hear a lot of that, and they're snapping shrimp, but as long as you've got a close singer, it just sort of like overrides everything else.
On the boat, Ellen prepares a hydrophone.
I'm doing everything I can to capture something different is happening here.
She plugs an antenna into the flat end of the hydrophone resembling a large mechanical crayon. A diver dons scuba gear.
It is the 10th of September. We are currently just off the main If found, the soundtrack belongs to Dr. Alan Garland at the University of St. Andrews.
A diver disappears underwater.
We're placing hydrophones on the seafloor, hoping a singer swims close enough.
Ellen attaches a hydrophone to a rope with a weighted end. They submerge hydrophones, marking them with buoys.
We call our communication language. We think what whales do is different.
An underwater light expands and contracts with the calls.
Underwater. Sounds can take half an hour to bend around the horizon or fade in a matter of seconds and feet.
Other lights respond.
Sounds constantly arrive from different places and times. And somehow, humpbacks decipher an acoustic world where the past and present arrive all at once. It's like knowing how each of the stars fit within time, with just your ears.
An aircraft flies over a large body of water. Words appear. While awaiting a replacement engine, Michelle's friend and colleague joins to help finish the season. A young woman smiles out of the plane window. Natalie Mastic Jensen, PhD student, marine ecology. The amphibious plane coasts toward the shore by Michelle's camp. Sitting with Michelle on the dock, Natalie takes notes on a tablet.
How many whales have I marked? Six total.
Six total. Whales, whales. I have a group size of two, a group of three, and I have a single over there, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Time for my 3-minute break?
Yes.
Breaching whale!
Well, we're out of
her. Yeah, but we can watch it. It's snack time. Get the snacks. Get the snacks. Here, pocket cheese.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Ooh.
Then how far away do we go before we do another survey?
1 hour or four miles.
Excellent. How many surveys do we try and do in a day?
Four.
Four. How hungry are we going to be when we get home?
So
hungry.
Michelle sits on a couch looking at waveforms on her laptop.
A lot happening in this file. I'm not surprised there was a lot of whales around. Here's a little half-feeding call. That's called an arches, and then a droplet. Whoop, feeding call, droplet, 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 feeding call, droplet, droplet, droplet.
How many of these did you name?
I named all of those. You know what we call that call?
Elephant.
No, close. Think of another animal that makes a sound. It might be dead.
Mammoth.
Closer.
Woolly mammoth.
No, it's called the brontosaurus.
It may be dead. Most certainly is dead. You tricked me. They do remind me of brontosauruses. Brontosauri.
I agree. That sounds like a brontosaurus.
Michelle looks out on the water. Natalie stands beside her. In the distance, whales breach the surface. They spout and splash. The boat sits tethered to the dock.
Three more days until I get a new engine.
Michelle draws pencil diagrams in a notebook.
We're trying to answer the question, is the whoop a contact call? And we are running out of time.
She and Natalie erect a tent.
We're creating a record. So that we can at least demonstrate to the world and to the generations ahead of us that something beautiful was here.
At night, they clutch their tent's tarp as violent winds whip through it. In the morning, the tarp lies tangled on the clothesline.
To answer these questions, I have to remove myself from society. And live in a world that is dominated with animals. And it doesn't feel like a sacrifice. It feels like a release.
In slow motion, a whale's tail disappears beneath the surface. In a kitchen, Natalie sprinkles spices into a pan on the stovetop.
I know I'm gonna come home a different person, mm-hmm. and I don't know if that person's gonna fit the role that I had before.
Natalie holds a mug at the kitchen table.
Like, I went to Antarctica for a month and came home to a dog and a partner that I didn't fit into anymore. And I had to leave them. And I'm terrified that's gonna happen again. You know?
Yeah.
I'm terrified I'm not going to fit into that role that I had when I left.
You have to leave it, but not just leave it physically, but also leave it mentally.
You've come into the field for 7 seasons. Have you found a way to come home?
No. No. Instead, I do the opposite, and I take the things that are precious to me about home, like you, and bring them here. Which seems to make more sense. Because this is a much safer place to be a human.
Week 3. Ellen and Alex peer across the water from the undulating boat.
I've never seen so few whales this late in the season. And we've only captured one clear recording.
On the horizon, a humpback breaches, careening through the air.
All right. Phone is going down.
Alex reels in the hydrophone coil.
Moving nicely.
I'm going to do data because we're hanging out here for any longer than we have to.
Ellen holds a windblown paper down and jots notes.
Can I have a time? I'm going to listen now.
8:29.
Okay, recording.
Alex presses an earbud into his ear. Ellen dons earbuds and cups her hands over her ears. She nods. She continues listening as waves lap the boat. They pack the equipment into a case.
I am just exhausted from everything.
They cruise toward the shore.
To talk about that it's hard, that it's challenging, can sometimes be a sign of weakness.
Ellen trudges down a dim hallway.
Particularly being female in this field, you don't want to show any weakness.
In the base, Ellen coils an audio cable. The hydrophone coil sits in a tiled shower, a plastic bag over the hydrophobic end. In the morning, Ellen walks down the dock toward the boat. The boat embarks. On the boat, Ellen scrawls notes.
This year, I promised that I would only go on fieldwork for 2 weeks.
At night, she talks on the phone.
I miss Matt. It feels like a lifetime ago we were able to see each other's faces.
On the boat, she watches a bird fly overhead. Michelle works on her dock-to-boat's engine. She wipes her brow. Words appear. 19 of 30 playbacks completed. 6 days remaining.
It is Tuesday, August 27th. This is Dr. Michelle Fournet here with almost but not yet Dr. Natalie Mastic.
Natalie claps beside the hydrophones.
my favorite problem.
It's a good problem. Look at that.
Natalie tethers rope to a hydrophone and submerges it.
Perfect. Okay, Blue is secured on the anchor. Blue is now in water.
Musical water.
Natalie uses a tablet.
Is that turned volume up, turned up all the way on the iPad? Yes, it is.
Natalie nods.
Play it again. Is it playing? It's playing.
Oh, we didn't put it in the water. Shoot.
All right, stop it.
She submerges the speaker.
All right, are you ready? I don't know. That was very stressful. Yes, I'm ready. Okay, go.
Michelle uses binoculars.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
She points out surrounding whales.
Ready? And begin. We have a group of 2, 3 singles, 1 group of 4, and 2.
We're at the end.
Survey number 26. That's time. Group size 3, 145.6. 2, 5, 6, 1. Group 1, 129.6. 200 to 5.
They pull into the dock and disembark. The hydrophones lie on the grass.
I feel my age for the first time. And I want to have a baby.
What are you going to do with your baby when you're in the field? You're going to bring him out.
It's a hard question. It depends on what kind of field work I do.
Yeah.
It depends on what kind of partner I have when I do that field work. If I have a partner who can join me in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I have a support group of people. Like, I'm dead serious.
We do a 1-month field season.
Yeah.
And somebody picks blueberries with the kids and makes pancakes and does the laundry and cooks the meals for the day and does the dishes for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come in from all of our surveys and then the next day, it's my turn. Yeah. With the kiddos, like, you just stick one here and you hold 2 hands and if they fall, they fall. You pick them back up again.
Yeah.
And then we just bump around again and now it's your turn to stay home.
Yes. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about how exhausted you're gonna be?
It's only 1 month.
1 month of working for 9 hours on the boat, coming home, not getting any sleep. I guess there just aren't that many good examples of that in our field.
We don't need any examples.
In French Polynesia, Ellen and Alex stand on the boat. Richmond uses the phone.
Okay. Merci, Francis. Yeah, merci.
He hangs up.
He told me this way.
Yep.
He's singing.
Okay.
After when he go, and I first stop singing.
Okay.
Because
last time he started again.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I think, that explains it, because we heard pretty good songs, so if he's off there.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
They sail forward. They unpack equipment.
Going in.
Alex submerges the hydrophone coil.
I think we're going in the right direction. I think he's louder.
She listens on headphones, nodding.
Yeah, we are definitely going in the correct direction now.
Yeah.
The boat speeds through open water. Ellen submerges the coil. She listens on headphones. She watches the display on the recorder. She cups her hands over the display, leaning forward to observe it closely. Alex listens with one earbud. Ellen grins broadly. Alex smiles slightly. The team high fives. Ellen lends Richmond her headphones and he listens. She puts the earbuds in her ears and fills out a chart. On shore, she sits at her laptop and writes in her notebook.
This is the same song we heard in Australia. The one we've been tracking all season.
A note reads, found singer.
Which means there are at least two different songs here.
Listening on headphones, Ellen blinks emotionally.
A cultural crossroads. This whale is singing the song from the West. But the other song has to be from somewhere else. And the next closest population is near Ecuador, 5,000 miles east.
In a graphic, the Earth turns.
What I thought was unprecedented song sharing across the South Pacific could be just one piece of a global cultural network.
Humpbacks swim underwater.
Thousands of brains learning and sharing some of the most complex acoustic patterns on Earth. The result of evolution that's millions of years older than ours. Studying whale culture might be more about glimpsing something of ourselves. How we can connect differently a million years from now.
Michelle's boat speeds through the water. Michelle submerges a hydrophone. She plops a connected buoy onto the surface. Massive whales skirt the surface. A whale spouts close to the boat. It disappears underwater. Michelle turns to Natalie, holding a camera. Michelle sits on shore. She wears over-the-ear headphones. She looks up and smiles.
We're about to find out if it worked on this one. It starts there. Okay. So in the first before period, there's 1, 2, 3 growls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoops. In the second before period, there's 1, 2, 3 whoops.
Mm-hmm.
In the during period, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
She nods emotionally.
There are 13.
She turns to Natalie, wipes a tear, and removes her headphones.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
We're talking back to you.
I keep thinking it's not going to work.
Wearing a big smile, Michelle rides on the boat.
It is so hard to interpret the language of the natural world, to listen and understand what it's saying to itself. That is of the same proportion as pointing all of our satellites skyward and listening for a sign from outer space.
Words appear. Dr. Fournet's early analysis shows that humpbacks do use whoops to make contact and reveal who they are. Her breakthrough opens a window into how whales sustain lifelong relationships. Dr. Garland is working with international scientists who study humpback song. Together, they're creating a map of how whale songs may be shared around the planet. Both Dr. Fournet and Dr. Garland continue to decode what appears to be the oldest global system of culture and communication on Earth. Cut to black, credits appear. Directed by Drew Xanthopoulos. Produced by Megan Gilbride. Executive producer Andrea Medich. Executive producers Greg Busted, Jessica Harrop. Executive producer Josh Braun. Co-executive producers Bill and Eva Price. Director of photography Drew Xanthopoulos. Editor Robin Schwartz. Composer Hanan Townsend. Sound designer Nick Ryan. Animation creative director Duncan Elms. Credits roll. Walking Upstream Pictures LLC is the author of the cinematographic or audiovisual work for the purposes of Article 15(2) of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. Copyright Walking Upstream Pictures LLC 2021. All rights reserved. Impact Partners. Walking Upstream Pictures.